wonderful to be a part of that worship. It's wonderful. You guys are great. I appreciate the relationship that we share with this ministry, and you guys are making a great impact in Africa from where you are right here just because of the life-giving partnerships that we share together. So it's a blessing. And my wife Eve says hello. She's now here. She's in Uganda. We traveled back together the last few weeks, and I came back quickly, and I'm going back. The church is doing well. The children are doing well in the orphanages that we have. They are growing in Christ. They are also growing in stature. A cathedral of life home is filled with 12 children, and they are growing in Christ. So thank you so much for being a part of what God's doing in Uganda, Africa. I am still praying that one day you will organize yourself. You will organize a team here among yourselves and be able to come over and see it firsthand and be a part of that physically. But it's been good. God's been good. We have, the 40,000 people you hear. We have 1,600 churches that we've started in Africa and other countries for the last several years. And they're growing. And within the main church in Kampala, which is the capital city, we have 400 small other services on Sunday. And that has been the recent development. That we were filling the building up. We didn't know what to do. And we realized that, in order for us to keep adding new people, we needed new seats. And these seats were all full. So we emptied the church to fill it back up again. So we told the people, hey, you guys already know Christ, okay, and you are occupying space. We cannot grow, okay, so get out. Okay? And so we told them, don't come. I mean, it was more kind than that. We say, instead of you coming here, stay in your communities, and we're going to send leaders there. So we emptied the church, so we now have so many seats open because we are getting ready to grow it back again. But it's not empty because we are feeding the whole city with 400 services. And it's very exciting. I never had it before. God gave me the revelation and shared it with the church. They went with it, and God's using it. So we are strong on evangelism, winning souls, and at the same time raising leaders. So the 400 leaders that pastor or lead these churches, actually they're not churches, they're services. It's like a satellite. Okay? They go and lead. They're not like sessioned as pastors. They just go and lead services. They attend the first service. We have three services on Sunday. So they attend the first service, which is 7 o'clock. And they hear what I preach and they take notes. And after that, then they go in 400 services and preach the same message that they had, so that the vision is consistent and the meal is the same. And it's so far so good. But God has been glorified. But it's a lot of so many leadership issues, and also so many landlords. We have 400 landlords. If you think about it, so. It's a blessing and a challenge, and that is part of the ministry of making a difference in a dark continent. It attracts those challenges, but you can gladly tackle those and lead and make a difference. Amen. Amen. So we just finished building a school. For those that don't have our newsletters, we are transitioning the orphanage to become self-sustained, because fundraising is not fun, okay? It's making me lose my hair. And there's another type of hair that's growing in my face that's different from the color of the hair that I used to have. And I keep rebuking it to go back, and it's not complying. So it's not fun. So we said, okay, we don't want the orphanages to become like endless, like bottomless, you'd never feel the need. So what will happen in 20 years, 15 years from now? So let's make them self-sustained. So God gave us the wisdom. And the wisdom is, if we can sustain the monthly support we keep getting, we can actually subsidize that with the locally generated income. And how do we do that? So we have built a beautiful home, a beautiful school. It's four stories, for those that have seen the building in the newsletters, four stories. And by the way, I thank you so much for some of you that are actually sponsoring these children. Thank you so much. Not many of you, but thank you so much. There should be more of you. So we need to talk about that. But let's continue. So we built this beautiful school, 2,000 students, four stories. It gives our children, the elementary, the young kids, free education, 800 of them. But it's because it's big, we created the 1,200 more space so that we can attract some of the Ugandan well-to-do, able to afford to pay the education of their children. They're there. So they bring their children to us on a fee. And the money they pay will underwrite the operation of the school. So we take care of the 800 with their support. And at the same time, we end up preaching to their children so they can come to Jesus. So they pay for their education and they end up receiving Jesus at the same time. And it's wonderful. So the school was completed in 2014, December. Beautiful facility. We have already brought in 200 paying students. So next year, we're going to bring 500 more, and then 300 more, until the 1,200. Once we hit the 1,200, then the school and a part of the orphanage will be self-sustained to God's glory. Okay? So that's done. But now the kids are growing. They are going to secondary school. They are now in high school. So how do we take them to the high school? Because you know your children. You know, we thought that they become cheaper when they grow older. Never. So they're growing older. So what we're doing now, we are constructing, starting next year, a secondary school, which is a high school. It's the same model that we are doing with the primary school, which is the elementary school and the middle school, is what we're doing with the high school. So we are going to be building that, giving education to our 1,000 students, and then the rest of the parents will pay for that education, which will run the entire secondary school, which is great. Some of our children are already growing. Some of them are graduated from the trade schools, okay, all of that stuff. But we are creating a local engine to be able to sustain what God has started. So pray for us. It's a long journey. We haven't seen a lot of models like that. So we are venturing. So far, so good. 200. We had only 3 weeks to register new students before the school year started, and we got 200. Because the facility is so good. We have a very beautiful computer lab. Few schools have it. 200 computers in a big, huge, a library. So the paying parents want a good facility, good academic system, with amenities and all of that, and then good ethical position. So because we are a Christian school, that's already a big buzz in the community. So the school year in Uganda starts in January, February. So we are getting close to starting a new year. But already parents are coming to us and say, make sure I have a position for my child next year. So good sign. So pray for us. But I did not come to talk about that. I came to preach to you, and I have a message from the Lord. So would you please open Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. You might need to find a pen and write a few things that God placed on my heart. I am going to talk about only 3 points. I promise. Only 3 points. And I'll get you out of here before the next service starts. Okay. Yeah, you kind of laughed it off, but you don't like it, actually. We'll get out of here before 12:30, seriously. I need about 30 minutes, African minutes. Okay, in Hebrews chapter number 12, I want us to talk about Jesus today. I want us to talk about what it is. What is it to be like Jesus? He has so many different examples he laid when he lived his life. Millions. Everything that Jesus said became a standard. He became an example. And if you can only do what he did and say what he said and mean what he meant, you're good. So he's our role model in so many different ways, and actually in every way. So I just want to talk about three examples on how we can maximize our life just like Jesus did. How can we do that? How can we be great in Christ? How can we go all the way for God, okay? How can we utilize our lives, okay? How do we live our lives? So I'm going to talk about three qualities that Jesus had. I mean, remember, he has like a million. Every word he said becomes a standard or a principle, okay? So let's talk about those three, learning from him. And in Hebrews chapter number 12, the Bible says, therefore, we also, since are surrounded with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God the Father. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for the next few minutes, speak to us from your word. I pray that after the end of the service, somebody will say, I've been encouraged by that word. I've been encouraged and uplifted and enlightened. I pray that you will transform us in what you want us to become. In Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Okay, my 30 minutes starts now. So whatever I've been talking about was off clock. Jesus, I'm not going to go into the intro. I already done that. So we're going to talk about three things that I consider to have been part of Jesus Christ. That's why he was so relevant. That's why he was so effective. That's why he was so pointed. That's why he was so focused, okay? The first thing is, Jesus never led from vision perspective. He led from destiny perspective. So the first point is, we need to transition from having a vision to having a cause. Say that with me. From having a vision to having a cause. Or cause. How do you pronounce it? Cause. Okay. So cause. Cause. Okay. Whatever. Mine is better, but you guys have an accent. Okay. You do have an accent. You think I have the accent. No, you have the accent according to me. So you transition from having a vision to having a cause. Jesus led from a cause. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he came with a cause. There are so many things he could have done in this world when he was here. He could have established so many different things and set up so many different initiatives, but he decided never to do that. He never built a building. He never did all these other wonderful things. Okay, he never started an orphanage, which is not a bad thing to do, but he never engaged into any of that because he knew that whatever he doesn't do, he will influence us to do. We will build buildings for hosting his purposes and all of that. But the thing is, he stayed on the cause. The cause was to come, let down his life for 3.5 years, lay out the entire Christian life, how we are going to walk, how we are going to move, how we're going to, you know, just to bring the kingdom in perspective. He laid down the kingdom of God. That was his cause. So my question to ask is, do you live in the perspective of having a vision or having a cause? Do you have a vision or do you have a cause? Do you have both? We're going to talk about it. So, let me explain to you where the difference is. Number one, a vision is where I want to go. A cause is what I was born for. Very different. A vision is where I want to go. Every January, everybody gets a vision. Woohoo! January 1, guess what? I'm going to lose 20 pounds. Okay? Okay, we get a vision. In September, we're going to do ABC. We can always come up with visions. Vision is where I want to go. And those can change. But a cause is, why am I here? Why am I breathing? Why am I waking up every day in the morning? Not to do errands, not to run after visions, but to run after why I am here. Because God created me, set me aside for this purpose, that this life will be where it's supposed to be, to do what it's supposed to do. A cause. A cause is what defines you. A cause is what you're going to be remembered for. A cause is what is synonymous with your name, not a vision. You have to have so much cause. I mean, you can have one cause if you are stingy, but you can have five causes. Okay? So I don't mind that. But you have to have cause, a cause. Why are you here? Imagine if all of us at Cathedral of Life have causes. And you have a cause, at least one of the causes will be your church-related cause. And that you know that you are here at Cathedral of Life, not as a permanent visitor. Okay? Because if you have never signed up to do something great at Cathedral, I don't care how long you have been here, for like 20 years, you are just a potential visitor. But once you sign up to do something significant for the kingdom of God, then you are transitioned from a visitor to a kingdom person. Okay? I know you don't like that, but it's going to get better, so don't worry. So, if all of us have a cause, why are you here? Not just volunteering. Some of us volunteer because we just want to help out. No! God is not, it's not just we're looking for freebies. We're looking for anointed people with a cause. And you know, my cause is related to the young men or young women or the children or the men or the whatever. You pick that as a cause. Not that we need volunteers. You make leaders beggars for volunteers. But if you know you have a cause and you join a cause and you are serving children or men or women, whatever ministry, maybe outside in the community or in evangelism, and that is your cause, and they tell you to come here at 7 in the evening for a meeting, you won't even be here at 7. You'll be here at 6:59. You'll be early. You'll be excited. You'll be in the zone. Why? Because you're doing something with a cause related. But the thing is, a lot of us, we're just doing something to help out. Okay, you don't like that. I better move on. So, if you had a cause for souls, we shouldn't be pushing you to invite visitors and guests and all of that. If you have a cause for whatever, we could see a lot of people unlimiting their enthusiasm, going after God and going after the kingdom of God. There's a woman in the Bible who had a cause. Her cause was to minister, to serve the saints. She would make coats, sweaters. She was good with sewing. And every member of the church was ministered by her through the love of the action that she showed. And one day she died. But she has so much cause in the church that when she died, they could not bury her. Because everybody went back home and they brought, you know, sweaters and different things and craft that she made began to display it all over the place. And the church started crying because her love was all over. She lived a life of a cause. And because she had so much cause, they could not bury her. She became unburyable. And that is still English. She became unburyable because she lived in a cause. So my question to you is, are you unburyable or unbearable? Are you one of those people when you come to a time of going to be with the Lord, the church will go, thank God, finally. Okay, I don't think anybody lives like that. Oh, the church now is going to grow after she's gone. Thank you, Jesus. I don't think we can ever wish any of that to happen to any of you, but me as a pastor, since I'm not with my church, I can talk about our church. So don't put on Facebook, they might run into it. Okay. There was a lady in our church. Actually, let me talk about the good lady. You can post this if you want. The good lady was so much filled with causes for souls. One day, I preached about soul winning, and she understood by revelation that her purpose in life was to make sure that heaven is bigger and hell is small. Amen. She knew that. And she said to me, "Pastor, I need you to assign me a whole row of chairs. I'm going to fill that row by myself with new people that are going to come to Jesus and are going to bring them to church." She did that. She filled a role. She asked for another role. And she filled it. She asked for a section. Now, our church is large. It seats 16,000 people. Under one roof. Okay? That is counting heads and not hair. Okay? That's actual number. Okay? So, she asked for a section. She started bringing people in troves. She would hire. Okay, she would hire a van. You know, in Uganda we have a van of 14 passengers. She went from 14 passengers to hire a van of 36 passengers big. And then she went from hiring 36 passengers to hiring several 36 passenger vans every Sunday. She was anointed. She was in the zone. And I told her, "Don't you ever take her away. Add the number of her days in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want your pastor to pray for you like that." And then there's another one. That's the one you don't want to post. I prayed to God one day. I said, "God, I love her. You know that in my spirit. I love her. But Lord, if you ever choose to take her, I have no objection." Okay, that is not so good. But I want to be real. It happened. So don't. Are you, okay, are you unbearable or unbearable? If you went to be with the Lord today, will the church miss you? But how will they miss you? So this lady decided to give love on everyone that came to church. Maybe that's your assignment. Maybe there are other issues. Okay, so a vision is where you want to go, but a cause is what you are born a cause is what you live for. Number two, indifferences. Jesus always said, "For this cause I came." So he came for a cause. Okay, number two, people can live for a vision, but one will die for a cause. You know you have a cause if you are ready to let down your life for it. Because anybody want to live for a vision. But how many are ready to die for a cause? Okay, let's go quickly. You possess the vision, but a cause possesses you. You know that you have a cause when you are eaten up. You are swallowed up. You are engaged fully, 110%. You are committed. You are sold out. You sleep this cause. You pray this cause. It makes you sleep. I mean, it makes you cry. It makes you pray. It makes you come to church or go to whatever is its assignment on time. And you can't eat without achieving that. You feel like life is not full unless that cause is satisfied. That's when you know you have a cause. Some of us have visions. If nothing happens 5 years, that's okay. Thank you, Jesus. But do you have a cause? What makes you cry? What makes you weep? What makes you excited? What makes you fulfilled? What makes your innermost being say things like Jeremiah? "It is like a fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot hold it anymore." Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. If you don't live like that in this life, you are just wasting away. Excuse me, it's a very strong statement. But it's true. You're just wasting away. You're just living just for another day. You just hang around. You are so important. You are so anointed. You are full of potential. God has called you and deposited his own son inside of you. And he that is in you is greater than the one that is in the world. And you can rise up and do a lot for the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. So you are born for a cause. And no one can say, oh yeah, everybody got one, but I don't. I don't think God has spared anything. He gave everybody except me. He ran out when, no. God, everyone is a special person in the kingdom of God. You might not be preaching like me, but maybe your cause is to, I don't know. I don't want to give you ideas. I want you to seek God for yourself. Okay, continuing with number one. Okay, I have 3 points. Okay, I tricked you. I only 3 points, but each one has like 10 points underneath it. A vision excites you, but a cause empowers you. See, that's when you know this is a cause. Because in the time of excitement, everybody can get excited. Woohoo! Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go here. We're going to do what? Oh, sounds so good and so fun. But when the time of challenges come, when things are very tough, and I've seen it, I've been there, done it, when everything looks like it's impossible, okay? When the journey becomes so tough, what sustains you is to know that I am where I'm supposed to be, I am doing what I'm supposed to do, and God appointed me here. This is my cause. Come May, I'm going to stand. You start to address the mountains before you. You better get out of my way or I'm coming through in Jesus' name. You begin to speak to yourself to be stronger. And you begin to seek the Lord and ask God for revelation on how to solve this. Why? Because you are not backing out because the times are tough. A vision excites you, but a cause empowers you. How many want to live empowered lives? Find a cause. When you are, okay, a vision can change, but a cause never dies until it's fulfilled. A vision can change. We can decide as a church, we're going to have a pumpkin party. The weather changes and the pastor can come. You know what? We're not doing that. We're not going to do that. We're going to, other than doing it on the outside, we're going to do it on the inside or whatever. We can even say, we're going to go for a retreat and this can change. Visions can change. We can drift from anything. Look at all the plans you had at the beginning of the year. You somehow drifted away from some of them. And we do that even in our church. If something's not working anymore, we get it. And I train our church to learn how to flow with the Lord. Don't just get hung up. They removed our program. We just gave it a decent funeral. And move on. Because it was just vision. Visions can change. We don't serve visions. Visions serve us. But we serve causes. And I can tell you, our church or my life, we are called to do 1, 2, 3, and that's it. Those are causes. So vision can change, but a cause doesn't change. And if you don't fulfill your cause, God will raise your sons or daughters, spiritual or physical, or the people that you mentor to rise up and fulfill that. You will not going to die without seeing your cause. And if you die before you see the causes, the people you have touched or mentored will rise up to fulfill that cause. It does not die. When you align your cause with your vision, then passion, power, and purposes, or purpose will come. Okay, now I'm bringing the vision. So the vision comes after you get the cause. Not vice versa. In other words, when you get the cause, then you take the cause and derive vision out of the cause and you pursue it, because vision is the legs for the cause. I see a lot of people that have a cause but have no vision. So 6 years later, yeah, I know. It's in me. It's in there. It hasn't died yet. Have you done anything? I'm waiting on the Lord. 10 years later, he's still in there. They have a curse, but they're not moving. Once you get a curse, ask God to give you a vision from the curse that will work as the legs of the curse. And when those two combine together, I'm telling you, you become unstoppable, and God will use your obedience to bring glory to his name through all that you're going to do. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's number one. Number two, Jesus was a master of recognizing shifts in his life. Shifts. Was a master of it. He knew the timings. He knew the seasons. At one time, he would tell his disciples, I think it's in John chapter number 7, you go up to the feast. I cannot go up to the feast because my time has not come yet. And in the middle, sometimes it would just be just like 3 hours or 2 hours or several hours. But he knew not to just move recklessly and randomly. He knew the power of timing. He knew that just doing the right thing at the right time can change everything about a whole lot. So shifts are important. And you want to understand that God will do a whole lot of things in our lives when we understand his timings, and we understand his seasons, and we understand his shiftings. Some of you, you're not looking that bad. You are only one shift away from a major breakthrough in Jesus' name. And I want to declare that over you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are not looking that bad. Only one shift can change your story forever in Jesus' name. Books can be written about the experiences you are about ready to jump into by the power of the Holy Spirit. 40 years of waiting, 30 years of waiting can be erased by one miracle, and all of a sudden, in 3 years, you are able to accomplish what you couldn't accomplish in 20 years before.
Amen.
Why? A shift came, you recognized it, and you moved. Jesus said, "My Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you." He was recognizing the times, the shifts of God. So how many have ever driven a stiff shift? It's good. Even ladies, wonderful. A stick shift. When you drive a stick shift, before you could change the gear, that's what I call a shift, before you can shift, okay, what do? You have to press the clutch. Okay, so automatics are just coming in Africa for the last 5-7 years. So we were just men and women with shifts. Actually, women could not even drive that much. You see a woman driver, it was like, oh, she's a man. Because it was very, very hard to drive the shifts and all of that. Now you come to Africa, my goodness, ladies are driving like half, 50%. Amazing. But anyway, before you could shift into a new gear, what happened? You press the clutch. When you press the clutch, you free all the other shifts or the gears. In other words, the car goes into neutral. It cannot go anywhere. It can only use the last speed it had. And some of you, you are about to experience a shift in your life, okay? But the thing is, a clutch has been pressed. And because you haven't seen the shift, you're just using the last momentum that you had. You're just maintaining the last success, the last story, the last breakthrough, the last miracle that God performed in your life. And maybe you're judging it wrong. I'm not going anywhere. Things are not taking off like they should. There is no speed and traction in my life. Could be that God is in the process of shifting you. God just pressed on the neutral so he can launch you into another gear in Jesus' name. I declare that to some of you by the power of the Spirit of the living God, that the shift of God will happen to you, that the plateau you've been experiencing will be over and the drought will be over in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. It's all about a shift. It's all about, have you ever been, okay, so when you put a car in the neutral, okay, and you press the clutch, what does the car say? The car now tells you, okay, I'm ready. Whatever. You give it to me. You want to go faster? You want to go slower? You're going to go what? The car is telling you, I'm all yours. Do whatever you want. And some of you, I believe God is shifting you forward. Now, when I used to drive a shift, I could go from gear number one or shift number one to shift three. I don't go one, two, three. That's lady driving. I could pull. Okay, I'm not disrespecting ladies. Some of them are driving very, very aggressively. So it could be that that's your wife. Okay. But my wife drives one, two, three. Okay. But I could go from gear number one to gear number four. I pull the castle strong. I mean, there's no speed limits back then in Uganda, so I wasn't breaking any law. Nothing posted. Thank God there's a road. If you have a road, thank God for it. So who has money to post speed limits? Now we have a few because we're growing. But the thing is, I could go from gear number one to gear number four. Because you pull the car with so strong, so much strength. So what happened here, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter how slow things have been. When God brings a shift, he can compensate the slow seasons you have experienced before in Jesus' name. He can shift you forward. I'm sure God doesn't bring a shift to bring you back. No, he has good thoughts about his work in our lives. And he wants to take us forward by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God uses, okay, I'm thinking about starting the process of beginning to close. It's a long process. But God uses about four things to shift us. Four things, if you can write them down quickly. Four things to shift us. Number one, God can use relationships to shift us. Because some of us, we are waiting for something from heaven to jump, to fall upon us and say, oh, that's it. That's it. And God will do it like that, but oh, God will do it differently. He can use he can bring a shift in your life using your relationship, whatever relationship you have, marriage relationship or family relationship or partners or business relationships or your church relationship, spiritual relationship. He can use those. When I married Eve, my wife, 26 years ago, I didn't realize that God was setting me up for a shift. Now, I'm talking about a good shift. I don't know what happened, but when I married Eve, it's like I got a stamp of approval from God. I don't know, but well, she's beautiful, so maybe that's the reason. But lights turned on when I married Eve. Green lights. People all of a sudden loved me, liked me, accepted. I don't know. But God kind of decided that now you have somebody to talk to you or to talk and speak in your life or something that you can trust. I don't know. I just know that doors opened for me locally. Doors opened to me on a citywide level. Doors opened to me on a national level. Doors opened to me on international level within the year after I got married. It was like a miracle. I went from nothing to be a national leader. People even started talking, oh, you're talking about this guy that married Eve? Because Eve was so pretty and so wonderful and so sweet spirit. I don't know. Things happen in my life. So God can use you and use his relationship. Your wife can give you one statement that can change everything. Relationships are important. How many are praying for kingdom relationships? God can use one brother, one sister. God can use one business leader that you know that can network you with some people that you needed to meet. And before you know, this guy at work gets to know the guy that you've been trying to know for a very long time. And all of a sudden, they meet by coincidence. They think it's coincidence. And all of a sudden, he connects you. One phone call away can introduce a shift in your life. And tomorrow you could be seated in a corner office or doing something you've been trying to do for 15 years. Why? Because of a relationship. I speak over your lives right now that after hearing this message, your lives will be so sensitive in the Holy Spirit that God will begin to line you up with kingdom relationships, strategic relationships, anointed relationships in Jesus' name. I declare that by the Spirit of God in Jesus' name, that God will begin to work behind the scene to bring to you the kind of people you needed, the kind of resources you needed, the kind of friends you needed, the kind of influence you needed, so that you can go to places God has called you for in the power of the Holy Spirit. I speak it in the Spirit, and I ask you to receive it in Jesus' name. So stretch your hand and say, I receive it in Jesus' name. Okay, number two, God can use decisions. The decisions we make can shift our lives. Decisions are powerful. Decisions made this heaven and earth and everything you see. God just decided. Don't joke or don't play around with decisions. God decided. Let's make man. Done. Decision. Let there be. 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 And you have everything. Why? The power of decision. A wrong decision can shift your life backward for 15 years. One wrong decision can end your life. One good, anointed decision can propel you forward in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what I'm praying for here, I'm praying for anointed decisions for you. Amen. As you lead your life, as you lead your company, as you do your business, as you raise those children, I pray that God will give you anointed decisions that will shift your entire family, entire life, entire finances in a new level in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you believe that God can anoint you just like he anointed Solomon with wisdom? He can anoint you with courage like he has anointed David with courage and wisdom and tenacity and follow through ability. God can anoint your mind to come up with an idea that has been needed for a long time in Jesus' name. He is not short of ideas. He is waiting for people that are willing and waiting to be downloaded into. I pray that you will be that lady, that woman, that man of God, that God can say, I can download some things in your life because I can see your capacity. You have 200 gigabytes. Okay. I won't go into science or technology. That is the end of it. But the thing is, do you have the capacity for a download? For some reason, this area sounds very enthusiastic. I'm gonna preach from this angle so I can get the anointing from that side to help that side. In Jesus' name. So what happened here? God can anoint your decision-making ability.
Amen.
Your ministry, your life, your capacity can go to the next level. God can bring a shift using your decision. Some of you have been sitting on decisions for a very long time. You don't know what to do. You are caught up in gray area. God's anointing is active, but the anointing doesn't move until you make a decision. The anointing is activated by action. The anointing is activated by a decision. God had all the power to serve the world. But until the action of Jesus coming down here to leave that out and to decide to go to the cross, nothing could be done until then. So I pray that God will give you an anointing, the capacity or whatever it takes to have an anointed mind. That the next decision you make, the next few decisions you make for your next year, for your next fiscal year, for the next financial planning, will anoint you to have a shift in Jesus' name. That the spirit of struggling will be broken off your life now by the decision you're going to make as the Lord anoints you in Jesus' name. Maybe you've been in the place where you have been for 20 years. I'm not talking about just local feeling good for a week. I'm talking about life-altering decisions. Life-altering decisions. Life-changing decisions in Jesus' name. It can take away the struggles and the challenges and the addictions you've been facing for 2 years or 5 years in the power of the Holy Spirit. Freedom can ring and God can be glorified in Jesus' name. So I pray you will be anointed with anointed decisions. Put your hand on your head and say, I receive that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We are kingdom people. And once we take a decision and we step out by in faith to trust God, you will see what God can do in your life. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Number three, God can use a revelation to shift out your life. A revelation can shift you. Just to hear one word from God. Now, those are decisions. It comes through consultation. It comes through waiting on the Lord. It comes from a whole lot of things. But a download is a download from God. So a revelation. God gave a revelation to Abraham. He just came to him and said, hey, guess what? You're going to be a father of many nations. He was struggling. Didn't have a kid. He didn't have nothing. Hey, if you can count the sand on the seashore, those are how many disciples or children you're going to have. If you can count the stars in heaven, those are how many descendants you're going to have. One revelation, all of a sudden, Abraham goes, I am not a struggling Abraham like I thought I was. I'm a father of nations. All of a sudden, it brought a paradigm shift in his life. One revelation can change your paradigm shift in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? How many want a revelation? How many want to say, God, tell me, what do you think when you think about me? What do you think when you think about my next 5 years, my next 20 years? What kind of legacy do you want me to leave behind? How much impact do you want me to carry in my life? God, what do you think when you think about our ministry, my church, my destiny, my spiritual values? All of that stuff. God will give you a revelation. Okay. Number next. Four. I know where you are. And I'm thinking now about closing. Starting to think about it. I haven't done it and I'm not doing it yet, but I'm thinking. Divine opportunity. God can use divine interventions to shift your life. He can choose, okay, it's not going to be relationship. It is not going to be decisions. It is not going to be revelation. But you know what? What? I'm just going to come to you and be good to you. And you wonder, I am not that skilled. I am not that sensitive to hear the revelations. I am not that great in decision. Why would you do something to me? And God said, hey, because I have loved you with an everlasting love. You don't have to be perfect and great and amazingly wonderful and you're making the best decisions and walking in the right way and doing the right thing and all of that. No. Just chill out and enjoy my grace. Chill out and enjoy what you don't deserve. Chill out and enjoy my love for you. I can bless you without anybody's endorsement. that's wonderful. That is wonderful. Don't you thank God he can bless you without consulting your husband first? Or consulting your wife first? What would happen if God had to consult about five folks in the church to bless you? You miss the blessing. And some of the folks don't think you deserve that big blessing. If they've been asked, oh, no, she has a lot of stuff to take care of. I know her very, very, even your best friends will not endorse you because they know you need to clean up a whole lot. So God says, and you know what? That's the reason they call me I am. The reason they call me I am, because you are not. So I'm just going to do it by myself at my own expense because of the blood of my son. I will just come in and I do what only God can do and bless you and love on you and take you to places you have never been before because of my grace and because of my love. By divine providence, I have blessed you. By divine providence, I have healed you. Not because you deserved it, not because you are perfect, not because you are the best in town, but because my love for you is relentless and it can never be withheld, and I will have loved you with an everlasting love. Somebody say, Lord, I thank you for your love. Wow. Okay, so that's number two. That's point number two. Close number four. Now, number last. Seriously, I'm going to need about 3 minutes. African, which is about 20. Okay. 12 fathers. That's where I wanted to stop, and I'm going to stop quickly. So, this last point. I'm going to brief it, actually. Make it brief. Expect resistance, but trust in the God of breakthrough. That's how Jesus lived. Just how Jesus lived. Even his first message to his people, they were ready to throw stones at him. At the introduction of his message, they were going to throw him off a cliff. He expected resistance. The scripture we read. He endured so much hostility. He lived a life. Can you imagine living a life when somebody is sitting in the boardroom every single day finding ways to kill you? Can you imagine? Can you live with that? Can you imagine addressing a crowd knowing that a good portion of these people are trying to catch me where I went wrong so they can nail me down? Every single day. He knew challenges, resistances will happen. And when you look through the pages of the Bible, Moses, Elijah, David, all of these wonderful men, they did great things. Nehemiah, they knew that you cannot go so far without paying the price. So there is a price. We have to be able to wage spiritual warfare. We have to be able to stand when things are tough. We have to be able to trust that he who called me in this work will sustain me. Personally, I have been threatened, blackmailed for being assassinated in our country. And they, one note, I don't even know how it made its way under my door. Opened the door in the morning and there was a sign. If you do not stop converting Muslims to your faith, we'll kill you. We have a big radio station. It's the largest radio station in Uganda by God's grace. And we preach the gospel. We don't abuse anybody. We love people. The more, you know what? The more you love people, the more they love your God. So we love people. We don't do anything wrong. We just play good music and love on them on radio, and they come in shorts in our church every Sunday. We see at least 20 to 30 Muslims give their life to Jesus. I mean, we used to see one and we could talk about it for 6 months. But now they're coming like popcorn. It's good. But that causes animosity. Okay? So you might not be facing such an animosity. You might be facing a different kind of animosity, or a spiritual warfare thing, or things are not breaking through. There is a resistance. Expect resistance. But look, believe in the God of breakthrough. And Pastor led us today to believe that today is a day of breakthrough. So I'm going to pray a prayer over you. I preached long, so I'll pray short. I preached long, but I'll pray short. Design is part of our call to be able to fight a good fight. If you want, if you cannot climb the mountain, you cannot enjoy the view. Right? If you want honey, you have to deal with the bees. Some of you, you want to take home honey. Well, you know honey, I'm not talking about Walmart honey. I'm not talking about Target honey. Okay, I'm not talking about honey you go to store to buy. I'm talking about harvesting honey yourself. If you want honey, honey is surrounded by bees. And you say, I like honey, but I don't like the bees. Well, go home. There will be no honey today. And some of you, you want success. You want breakthrough. You want to stand here and give a great testimony. Well, great testimonies are only coming from great trials and tests. Test. Testimony. You get a testimony from the test. Can you say amen? Problems are only blessings with thorns on them. Blessings are only, excuse me, problems are only blessings with thorns on them. You read Nehemiah chapter number 4, verse number 1. You read all the pages of the Bible. It will tell you that challenges will come. I am not one of those sugar-coated preachers that say, don't worry, things will be better. No, before it gets better, it gets worse. You have to stand up and push back the darkness and tell the devil, you better get out of my way or I'm coming through in Jesus' name. But God is always a faithful God to give you a breakthrough. Listen to this. The word breakthrough, breakthrough means God opens. I'm closing. 2 minutes, America. America. God opens a spiritual world, an impenetrable sphere in the spirit, and brings you out. In other words, when you cannot break out, God breaks in and gets you and takes you through. That's what I'm talking about. God pierces through the impenetrable places in the spiritual world and brings you out. That is a breakthrough. Breakthrough also means a significant and dramatic overcoming of a known obstacle. A significant and dramatic overcoming of a known obstacle. How many know your obstacle? How many know that if this was not the issue, my life will go to the next level? Well, God says, I am going to give you a dramatic, not small, little, no, dramatic and significant overcoming of that challenge in the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? So today, we want to pray. What do you need from the Lord? Do you need a cause? We're going to pray that God will anoint you. We might not be able to accomplish all this today in the service, but we're going to pray that God will open the heavens so that you, from this day, you'll be able to walk in those three areas we talked about. Stand on your feet, please, in Jesus' name. I'm out of time. It is 12:34. I want us to leave at least 12:44. And for this time, I'm going to keep time. So 10 minutes. 5 minutes to pray. In 5 minutes for you to support what God's doing in Uganda in a significant way. I'm not going to talk about the need. You know the need. We have great needs. We have actually some high school students that are very, very difficult to keep in school because they are many. And we get $30 per child, and it's not enough to sponsor the children who needs $180 per month. So we need to top up. So some of them have been threatened to be kicked out of school
When is 30th? 30th September. When is it? Just a few days. And we need $15,000 to be able to keep him in school. So, okay, no pressure, but it's 30th. Okay? And we needed more. We need $54,000 a month to keep these hundreds of the students, because we don't have our own secondary school, like I told you. We don't have our own school. So what we do, we pay other schools, private high schools, to give education to our children until we build our own, just like we build the smaller school. So that's what we do. But God is good. I want you to smile and say, God is good. Okay, so no pressure. I want to pray that God will bring a shift in your life. I want to pray that he will use the things we talked about to bring that shift. Or one of the things we talked about. I want to pray that the Lord will give you a cause for his kingdom. I also want to pray that the Lord will introduce a breakthrough to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be a long prayer, because faith has been shared. You all have faith. All we need is to agree together to these things in Jesus' name. So if you believe that God has brought me here today to leave this deposit in your life, come quickly and stand here. Again, it's not going to be long. Come quickly and stand here. If you come late, we'll be finished before you get here. If you believe you need a touch from the Holy Spirit, if you believe that you need a miracle from God, you need a breakthrough from God, you need something from the Lord that only God can give, you need favor from God, you need a new season to be introduced in your life, you need something to be done to the effect of the message that God has brought to you today in Jesus' name, let's stand in the presence of God and let's believe in Jesus' name that as we touch and agree together, great things will happen. Not because I am here, I am nothing. Jesus Christ is everything. It is only him who is able to do this. So stretch your hands in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to spend about 45 seconds to tell God what you want him to do. And then I'm going to release. Okay, I'm going to release. I'm unable to lay hands on anybody. We don't have time. But we are all believers. So 45 seconds, tell him what do you want God to do in your life. And as you do that, I'm going to begin to release in Jesus' name. Okay, 1, 2, 3. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. In Jesus' name, lift your voice. Lift your voice. I just want to piano. Okay, okay. Hey, come on. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Because you are able and you are mighty. You are mighty and you are wonderful. You are able to do exceeding abundantly and above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that is in our lives. So, Lord, we pray that a miracle will be released. Signs and wonders will be released in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for a breakout. I pray for a breakthrough. I pray for an amazing move of the Holy Spirit in this day by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray you touch somebody. You heal somebody. You change somebody's life. Father, we pray for favor. We pray for breakthroughs. We pray for a cause for every one of us in Jesus' name. Bring about causes. Bring about relationships. Bring about decisions. Bring about, Father, your grace and your mercy and your divine ability. Father, bring about all the things we talked about. We ask for revelation. We ask in Jesus' name that you will anoint us with a breakthrough in the power of the Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare healing in the bones, healing in the back, healing in the heads, healing in the chest, healing in cancer, anemia, asthma, high blood pressure, leukemia, and all sicknesses and disease to die in Jesus' name, to be expelled in Jesus' name, to stop in Jesus' name. Every pain, go. Every stress, go. Every scarcity, go in the name of Jesus. We pray for finances. We pray for revelations. We pray for wisdoms. We pray for businesses to blossom in Jesus' name. For finances to come in Jesus' name. For provision to come from left and right in Jesus' name. Come on, begin to raise your hands and begin to thank God. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. I release your anointing. 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 In the name of Sandaraba. I release your anointing. I release your anointing in the mighty name of Jesus. 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 I release.
release your anointing. I release your anointing. This is it. This is it, Lord. This is it. In the name of Jesus. This is it. In Jesus' name. This is it. By the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. We release it, Lord. We release it in Jesus' name. We thank you. We praise you. Come on, begin to thank him. Begin to thank God.